If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today, I'm going to be sharing some creepy and downright strange cryptid encounter horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, without further ado, let's jump right into these creepy and downright strange cryptid encounter horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. A Creature Outside My Window by Starless Eon. I was between the ages of 10 and 14 when this happened. Growing up, I lived on a dull street in a middle-class one-story house. My bedroom faced the front veranda, which had many plants. Just around the corner and down the hall from my bedroom was a study used as a spare room and computer room. I used to watch TV in that room, and on this particular night, it was boiling, so I opened the door to the veranda. There was a thin fly screen with no lock we would pull across when the door was open. It was so hot when I went to bed that I kept my bedroom windows and curtains wide open. I was having trouble sleeping and laid there staring at the ceiling. Then I heard what sounded like someone walking around on the veranda. The ground was cement pebbles, and there was a lot of dirt from the pot plants, which made a distinct sound when you walk on it. At first, I assumed it was one of my parents, but it was very late at night, and that wouldn't have made any sense. I craned my neck to look out the window. I saw a gaunt, skeletal, hunched-over figure slowly shuffling towards my bedroom window in the dark. It made a raspy sound as it shuffled around. I was sure it couldn't see me, but from how its head was moving, it looked like it was searching for something. Despite this reasonably creepy thing happening outside of my bedroom window, I still felt somewhat safe in the comfort of my bed inside my locked house. Then I realized I had left the study door open. All that stood between whatever the hell this thing was in my house was a tiny screen door with no lock. I knew I had to lock that door, and I had to do it fast. This was almost at my bedroom window, and would soon be at the study door. I slid out of my bed and crawled on my stomach out of my room and down the hallway to the study. As I reached the door, intending to close it quickly, I realized my mistake. I would have to open the screen door to get the door to close. From where I was lying, I could see this thing hunched over and peering into my bedroom window. I think it heard or sensed me lying there because it turned and shuffled over and bent down to where I was lying. I held my breath as this thing put its face right against the screen and peered in at me, its raspy breath sounding like death. In the dark, I could make out part of a face, but it looked gaunt and sickly, either with very thin or no skin. I couldn't see any eyes, or they were simply empty sockets. I didn't move as its face pressed against the fly screen, seemingly looking at me. Suddenly, its face distorted in terror, its eye sockets and mouth opening wide. It let out a blood-curdling shriek, a shriek that sounded like fear, and it bolted off into the night. I lay there silently, frozen in fear and disbelief over what had just happened, listening to ensure it was gone. As soon as I dared to move, I opened the fly screen, shut it, and locked the veranda door. And I returned to my room, shut the windows, and drew the curtains. I kept peeking through the curtain, expecting it to return, but for some reason, it never did. I've thought about this encounter ever since, and I've never been sure of what to make of it. I never told anyone about it either. I don't even know where to begin. and I never really understood why it reacted in fear when it saw me. The Shadow Creature by Mario H. Hey everyone, my name is Mario, and I am a paranormal investigator. I have only been at this since last July and have yet to experience all the oddities the paranormal offers, but still, I have experienced enough to share some creepy stories. I also know enough about the supernatural to classify my findings. I am baffled, disturbed, and curious all at the same time about a recent anomaly I encountered this past weekend. I attended a paranormal investigation event at the Joseph Philippi Winery in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The evening I had its fair share of weird disembodied voices, footsteps, light anomalies, and even some random apparitions. I'm not really ready to say any of these are definitive proof of existence, as I've not thoroughly reviewed any of this stuff and I investigate with a level of skepticism, but all those occurrences aside, the one unknown oddity of the evening has left me somewhat disturbed about what I witnessed lurking in the shadows of Alana House, the last area we investigated that night. Let me preface this discovery by stating that while I did see this shadowy creature being with my own eyes, my fiancé also saw the same thing. We kept quiet about it until leaving the building, only stating that we both saw something in there, but not elaborating on what we saw, so as not to influence our descriptions. As we exited the area, the other people in our group walked by when we suddenly saw a lady from our group with her guest, who pulled us aside and began to recount her happenings within the Alana House, as we had investigated. She described hearing, near the end of the investigation, sounds of someone walking behind her in the empty room. Please keep in mind the building is undergoing reconstruction, and there are no residents in the house. All that stands are wooden beams in door/window frames. She also described hearing the sound of heavy breathing, and said she felt whatever was there was pushing down on her soul. Those were her words, the words she used precisely. She appeared very disturbed and unnerved by the event. We both agreed we had seen something in the house, but did not describe anything to each other. With hesitation, mainly due to being dumbfounded by what I saw, we sketched a drawing of the quote-unquote entity. It is so imprinted in my mind that I had to share this experience to see what people think. Hopefully someone else has seen something similar to what I've seen and can share their knowledge. I saw a dark, shaded figure lurking in the darkness just behind our group. We were about 15 people centered in one room in a circle. The creature had elongated, muscular arms, legs with longer than average fingers, toes, and fingernails. Despite its muscular limbs, the torso was emaciated to the point that the outline of its ribs, I put quotes around ribs because I'm not sure if this thing was even human enough to constitute it as a ribcage, was visible. Its head had large, hollow, empty, and dark eye sockets. There were small, empty nostril slits on its face where a nose would be if it were human. Shockingly, the odd deformity of this creature was its mouth. It wasn't even really a mouth at all. It was like this elongated, drooping jaw. It looked like it was melting, like that melting clay with empty spaces in between. It moved in the shadows, just a few feet away from the group, swinging its limbs as it walked like it was striding in a pacing manner. It truly disturbed me. As the days passed, I began questioning what I had seen. Like I said, I investigate skeptically, so I debunked what I could plausibly. I could chalk this up to the darkness playing tricks on my mind, but two other people saw the same thing I did. How is that even possible? Why would we all see the same thing and have it be a figment of our imaginations? It just doesn't make sense. I can only hesitantly conclude that I saw some type of shadow creature. Generally, I have understood that shadow creatures don't necessarily take any specific form. If this was some sort of shadow figure or creature, it wouldn't make sense that it chose this weird form. Has anybody else ever experienced something like this? I'm trying to keep some semblance of reality, but I am totally open to what it could be. My friend is Mohawk raised, Seneca native. He has received some training in shamanism, has a full kit, his mask, full regalia, the whole deal. One evening, my girlfriend at the time, H, this guy, C, and I were at a local conservation area. He felt a presence and expressed an interest in returning at night to hold a ceremony. We agreed and returned 2 weeks later. There are wooden stairs set in the ground leading to the top of a lookout area, which at the time was under construction. We arrived at midnight,
climbed the stairway and crested the hilltop. He dressed in his regalia, lit some sage, and began the chant in Mohawk. The vibe changed immediately. I remember scanning the tree line as I looked around the area. On a second pass along the line, one of the taller silhouettes was gone. Had some 10-foot person or entity been standing there between me and the trees? Before I could begin to wonder at this missing hump in the dark tree line, See had stopped his chanting. Something is here. I think it's a shaman spirit. He turned and began to chant again. At this point, I was looking down the hill, and I suddenly heard a screech. The best description I can think of is a garage door in desperate need of oiling, closing loudly. Then we heard it again. H turned toward me with her eyes wide and said, "It's getting closer." The thing proceeded to approach us. Somewhere above in the trees in the forest to our right, it was calling in regular intervals as it approached, this loud, screeching noise. As we tracked it with our ear, we looked straight at each other in the dark, and then straight up. The regularity of the cry meant the next one should have been directly overhead. There was nothing above us against the starry background, and no further cry was heard. C wrapped up his ceremony. He gathered his things and we started to leave. He told us he had a vision of a red wolf watching us from the forest. He thought whatever the spirit was powerful and not benevolent. I made it to the stairs before C and H proceeded down them. A few steps in, and the flashlight showed a black mass on the stairs that most definitely had not been there when we came up. A crow wing. Not a feather or parts of an animal. Not like something had been eating it, but an entire wing. I remember towing the edge to make sure it was legit. C came up behind me. "Please tell me you didn't touch it." When I told him I had used my shoe to nudge it a little, he immediately got out a sage and washed the smoke all around me in a full body smudge, chanting in Mohawk as he did so. Then we went back to the car and back to town. We commented that it still felt just as weird in the car as it had in the hilltop. We dropped C off at his house. Then my girlfriend H and I went home. When we got home, I go to bed, and H says she is going to read in the living room for a bit. I kiss her goodnight and go to bed. Sometime later, I am awakened by a quiet knock on the door. I say, "Come in." I assume that it's my girlfriend, but it's my friend C. He looks scared. He said, "Could I come to see you? Are you okay?" He told me that it followed us home. "What do you mean, C?" He described that he had gone to bed shortly after we dropped him off, fell asleep, and was awoken suddenly because he could not breathe. There was a pressure on his chest, like something or someone was sitting on him, trying to suffocate him. As he strained for breath, just as he was worried about losing consciousness, the pressure would lift. He would get one or two deep sucking breaths in, and the weight would return. He finally decided to come to see if we were okay, and maybe if we could fight back together if I was not. I told him I had been sleeping fine, but if he wanted to stay, he was welcome. He said H had already agreed that that was a good idea and would sleep on the couch. C laid down beside me. Also, as soon as he did, I felt it. My chest was constricted by an unseen weight. I could not take in air. C grabbed my hand as I noticed he was not able to draw in either. And over the next long while, the same thing he described was happening to him at his place happened to both of us at mine. Pressure and gasping. And just when our lungs would begin to burn with the need of air, the pressure would be gone. We would get one, maybe two deep breaths, and slam, that unnatural weight was on our chest again. Over and over and over. Eventually the assault either ended, or I, or we, passed out. I remember waking up at some point much later feeling someone beside me, remembering C and being surprised when I saw H laying there. I remember saying, "Oh, it's you," and hearing a questioning mumble from her before sleep overtook me again. The first thing the next morning, H asked me what I meant when I said, "Oh, it's you." I explained that I was surprised that C had left. "C," she says, looking over at me like I am crazy. "Yeah, when did he leave?" "He never came over." I was insistent that he had. I know the difference between reality and dreamland, but no, apparently I had a very, very vivid but totally normal nightmare. Nothing to worry about, chalk it up as the strangest dream experience I had ever had, and we go on with our lives. 2 days later, H comes running into the apartment after work. She is a barista at a very cool indie coffee shop downtown that C and I both frequented. She explained that C had been in, and I was to go to his place immediately. Why? H, is everything all right? She looked uncomfortable. Not exactly scared, but not okay either. She refused to give me any more details, and to this day I am so grateful she did not. She just explained she had sent him home and told him to wait for me there. I get in the car and head to C's house. I knock on the front door and his mom lets me in. I head to his room and into the back. I knock and enter. "Hey man, how's it going?" he asked. I tell him I'm fine. I just wondered if everything was okay. You were gone when I woke up the other day. Immediately a tingle went through my body and chill iced my spine. "Excuse me?" "Yeah, you came over the other night, after you dropped me off because something had followed us home and was suffocating you as you slept. When you laid down with me, it started hitting both of us. It still gives me chills to this day." C had come into the coffee shop that afternoon and asked H if I was okay after leaving his place. She expressed some interesting confusion. She told her his story, and without saying a single word about me or my experience, she told C very calmly that she was done with work at 5 and would very much appreciate it if he could be home around then because she was sending me there as soon as she got home. He was startled and agreed to do so. "The reason I appreciate this is she did not want to ruin the wonder of it by revealing the truth to us. She let us discover it from each other. Something did indeed come home with us, and apparently disguised itself as a close friend to conduct a paranormal torment. Apparently, it came to see disguised as me, and came to me looking like him." To start this story off and to give a little insight about me, I'm an 18-year-old female who grew up in Michigan and have lived in the country for as long as I can remember. And for heads up, this is a long story, so bear with me. On one particular hot summer weekend, I and a couple of my friends, including my boyfriend, let us call him Tony, and my older brother, let us call him Brad, decided we were going to go camping for the weekend, since it was such a warm week. Tony's parents had owned a cabin way out in Ludington, surrounded by a huge wooded area, with a personal lake and no neighbors for at least 4 miles. But being stupid teenagers, we did not really think about that. All we were ready for was to party, as any normal teen would. Well, after being there for 2 hours, our fun had started. Tony's friends had brought tons of alcohol and weed to last us for the weekend, so we would not be bored since we had no cell service out there and only movies to watch. After it got around 12 a.m. and it was pitch black outside, we had a huge bonfire going. It was a total of 6 people, including me and Tony. As we talked and laughed about upcoming events in our lives, we were so distracted that we did not even notice that my brother had literally frozen his eyes onto one section of the woods. Mind you, we were all a little bit intoxicated and kind of high at the time. Eventually, our talking ceased when Tony realized his friend and my brother had an emotionless expression. "Hey dude, you alright?" he asked Brad. Silence was all he got in reply. Brad did not reply or even make any movements that would indicate he had been heard. After that, I started to get scared as well as the other 2 girls there. It took a lot for my brother to act that way. Eventually, I was the first to catch on that he was excessively staring into a certain spot in the woods. I turned my head and followed his gaze the best I could, and when I finally caught on to what he was staring at, my heart dropped. There was, at first glance, a dog. At least that's what I thought it was. It was some person's dog that had wandered off, right? But then my brain kicked in and I realized there were no neighbors for miles. So how could there be a dog? My mind started to race while Tony still tried to get Brad to speak or even move. In one motion, this thing stood up tall. And when I say tall, I mean gigantic. This thing had to be at least 6 foot tall. Everyone saw it then. How could you not? The other two girls, and the other boy with us, gasped as they finally grasped why my brother was still as a stick. No one moved for what seemed like hours. Tony was the first to talk. No tail, he mumbled. No one heard what he said but Brad, and I swear to you, when I say his eyes were wide and as big as pan saucers, I mean it. That freaked me out immediately. What did you say? One of the girls asked. It has no freaking tail, he hissed at her. My heartbeat stopped. He was right. There was no tail on this thing. Suddenly, my clouded alcohol mind cleared up in a fraction of a second when I finally realized what this thing could possibly be. Now I understood why my brother was basically crapping his pants. This thing was a skimwalker. My instincts kicked in right then and there, but before I could nope out of there, the thing let out a terrible stench, like rotten meat, right before screaming something that sounds like straight out of a demon movie. The sound was enough to scare everyone. I told everyone to just run as fast as they can. My brother was the first out of his chair. He started shouting native words to the creature. No one questioned anything that we were saying. They just saw how deadly serious we were. He has never seen me so scared. Tony was absolutely baffled, so he knew it was a bad situation. We all hightailed it to the cabin with my brother in tow, still shouting native words at the creature. It seemed to keep it at bay while it gave us enough time to get inside. He slammed and locked the door before turning off all the lights and grabbing special ash from the kitchen counters and starting to throw at every window and door while chanting. Of course, he had everyone freaked out and basically in tears at the moment. All of us were still in shock for a while, and after he was done, no one said anything for a long time. He grabbed our dad's pistol and had it posted by him for hours. Everyone was entirely too shaken up to even question what happened. We must have fallen asleep eventually because I woke up to my brother packing all of our stuff into the cars early in the morning. I understand why. We have a native family. We knew that we were dealing with something way too strong for us, and we knew it would come back, and maybe not even alone. Before we left, I did one blessing on the cabin and spoke a few calming words to the still very freaked out girls. We left as soon as everything was packed up. To this day, we still have not explained exactly to our friends what happened that night, and they never bothered to ask us either. Through the years, I have met people who are so intrigued by this subject. Some embrace the stories I have shared, and others believe them to just be stories. I had worked with one friend who never really believed in these encounters, and believed them to be just scary stories to tell children. So, it came as no surprise when he would encounter a skinwalker himself and become a believer in our supernatural beliefs. His encounter with a skinwalker terrified him so bad that he never doubted anyone's story ever again. He had told me this story the following day at work. He said he had been at home that night when he got a call from a female friend that needed a ride from work, so being a good friend, he picked her up and drove her home. After he picked her up, they began talking on the drive back. It was about a 15-mile ride outside of town. They had picked up a late dinner and decided that they would eat at a spot she liked. As they sat and ate and talked for a couple of hours, he claimed that he heard small taps on the back of his window. Not really paying any attention to it, he said that the taps became louder and more noticeable. After a while, she began to get extremely nervous and told him that it would be better to just leave. As he started up his car, a huge bang came from behind them as if someone had hit them head-on. Freaking out, he said he put his car into drive, and like a bat out of hell, wondering what caused that noise, he told her he wanted to pull off to the side of the road and see if there was any damage to his car. Telling him no, and not to do this, and to keep going, they sped all the way back to her house. After about 20 minutes, they finally reached her house, both terrified at what had happened. He said they just sat in his car, dumbstruck. He finally asked her what the hell happened, She looked at him and told him that a skinwalker had been following her for the past few weeks. Thinking to himself that she was crazy and she was making it up, he told her that he did not believe in it and tried to rationalize that maybe someone had hit them. It was not until they got out to go look at the back where the loud bang had come from. It was at that moment that his blood froze in his veins. As they approached the back of the car, they saw the dent on the trunk of the car, but this dent was only the size of a human hand and had left a handprint. Freaking out, he explained that she was nearly in tears and told him that he needed to get back home as fast as he could. As he left her house, he said that he sped all the way home. When he finally got back, he explained that he was not entirely sure what had happened and went to look at the dent, still shocked at the sight. His fears got worse. As he was walking back in the house he was staying at, he happened to look down the street and saw a black figure standing at the end, hunched over like a dog. Freaking out more, he said that he stayed up all night afraid that this skinwalker or whatever it was would come for him next. The following morning, I had just arrived at work when he also was pulling in. His eyes were heavy. It looked like he had not slept much. He then told me of his encounter. Startled by his revelation, he showed me the dent on his car. The previous day we had been hanging out by his car, and I did not see a dent. From there, he had been plagued by nightmares of this thing. It was probably 4 to 5 months later he finally quit and moved back to his hometown. I still don't know what happened to him, but I hope that his nightmares stopped and that he had found peace with himself.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange cryptid encounter horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Subscribe and turn on notifications so you don't miss a new episode, as I upload multiple new videos every single week on all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to see your story and potentially share it with everyone here in the swamp. If you're on the go, but don't have YouTube Premium, but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys so much for supporting the swamp the way you do. Be sure to join me on my second channel, Swamp Dweller Live, if you'd like to see extra deep dives into some other creepy content that doesn't fit this channel. And I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode.